Hello and welcome to our weekly episode of Flats and Shanks. I am Tom Shanklin.
And I am Di Flats. All right, Tom?
Yeah. Loving the music in the background.
Is it your tape?
Ambiance.
Ambiance. Is it your tape?
Who uses tapes, mate?
What?
Is it my CD? But who uses CDs?
I had a classic car.
Is it my download?
Tommy, I had a classic car, all right, a while ago. I say classic, old. And I had to sell it. Wish I hadn't sold it, but I did. And it had a tape player in it. And I actually went onto the internet and I got some of my favourite albums in cassette form for like 27p each, like Dire Straits, Roachford,
London
Billy Ocean.
London Boys.
London Boys, Mini Vanilli and Salt and Pepper. And got them on. And I used to rock around with no air conditioning, sweating my gooch off, listening to Salt and Pepper. So those are the days, eh?
Gone are the days where you used to have to hide your radio in your glove box or under your seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a Beetle first car, but I properly spiced it up a bit.
You can nick those with a tin opener, can't you?
I'd Pioneer sticker.
Whoa.
On the back.
Steady on, boy.
I know.
Steady on. Do you want to tell everyone why there's music in the background, Tom?
Yeah, well, we are in King's Cross, and we're in a lovely little... Is it a hotel bar?
It's a funny place, isn't it? I think it's called G&H Bar, and this...
It's really interesting. It's G&H Bar.
Yeah, don't quite...
It's not interesting.
It's not interesting. It's interesting. It's funny, isn't it? But it's quite a nice bar, actually. And we said, can we do our podcast? And we have to do it mobile today. They can't turn the music down any further. And we haven't got time to do it anywhere else. So we like to think that part of the appeal of our podcast is that it's kind of mobile and agile and hostile.
And it's non-aggressive music in the background.
Mm. So hopefully it's just a nice soundtrack to our weekly ramblings. But... The reason we're in London, Tommy, is...
Is because we are on a team social. MLB Management, which is Michelle Hogg, Blair, formerly Blair, is taking her four clients out. And we're off to Clue Quest, which apparently is like Krypton Factor.
Yeah.
Although I'm probably more suited to Crystal Maze.
You are, actually. That's a good point.
And then we're off to Sushi Samba, where you, my friend, will come into your own. Well, those hips.
Yeah. Snake hips.
And those mobile ankle joints.
Do you have to dance at Sushi Samba? Please say no.
You've got to dance for your food.
That's not true, is it?
I've never, ever heard of it. I've heard of sushi. I've heard of Samba. Because it used to be my favourite ringtone on my Nokia.
Never doth the two intertwine.
And they've amalgamated.
Yeah.
Synergized.
Permeated.
And that's what we're doing. So, I mean, I'm basically coming here with an open mind. You know what I'm like.
God, yeah. You are trisexual. Yeah, it's gonna be nice, but I'm looking forward to it. Christmas party number 3 for me, but...
Oh, is it?
No, I think it's probably number 1. I'm just trying to be a lad. But you are not... Let's just be honest with each other. You're not in the best form today, are you?
No, probably not, boy. Probably not. I've had a couple of Christmas drinks already. I had one last Thursday. Went to Asador 44. Is it Asador 44?
Yeah.
Yeah, in... Cardiff, just up from the City Arms. We had a lovely lunch.
Bit of aged steak, was it?
With the lads. And then we were off to a place called Kong's. Have you heard of Kong's? Do you have a Kong's in Bath/London?
Is that Matt Cairns's bar? We used to call him Kong. Oh, different reason.
It's a table tennis bar.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, play fruit machines. Table football. No, table tennis. So, just absolutely cleaned out the boys.
Oh, did you?
Well.
That's great.
My mate, James Rainbird, the Wolf, has got one in work, but it's not a full-size table. It's one of those small tables. And he thought he was like, I don't know, the ping father.
Yeah.
And I said, look, mate, I'll bet you 40 quid. I'll beat you first to 11, two serves each. Because I knew I was good.
Yeah. Do you play left-handed or right?
Either. Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Are you left-footed or right-footed when you kick?
Left.
Yeah, funny, isn't it?
Yeah, interesting. But dominated him 11-2. Easy money, 40 quid. Made him go to the cash point as well.
Did you?
Go outside the bar.
Oh, brilliant. I love that.
Then I did Blum. Reese Blumberg, tenner. Pete Leckie, tenner. Reese Blumberg, another tenner. But, you know, I was probably the best in the Welsh camp in my time at table
tennis.
Were you? Yeah. Yeah.
Are you really?
The Wall, they used to call me.
Wow.
Bring on the Wall.
The Nightwalker. Yeah, I went to school with a guy called Anthony Lickfold, and he played... table tennis for Great Britain, and you think, well, how good can you really be at table tennis? And holy moly,
yeah,
it is quite something.
Actually, when you see someone who's like, I'm an amateur, but probably just, could make it.
Could be pro if you wanted to, but you're busy at the moment.
And when you see someone who actually knows what they're doing,
yeah,
and has played to a professional level, OMG. But that was Thursday. Really nice day on Friday.
Go on.
Nursing a hangover. Went to St. David's Hotel, which is in Cardiff Bay. A lot of the rugby teams stay there.
Know it well.
Madonna often books that out. When I say often, she's probably done it twice when she's played
or
in Cardiff.
Once, but yeah, fine.
And it was an FAW, so Football Association Wales, lunch with Ryan Giggs.
Giggsy Wigsy.
So Gennaro were there. Bubs was there, Gennaro, because one of the principal sponsors of it.
Gotcha.
Brogue Trader, Chris McNamara was there.
He's like, Macca, Big
he's
Mac.
Like, oh, you and flats a pair of shoes, don't I? Mention me on the pod.
Yeah, he doesn't owe. Macca, you do not owe us any shoes. We have plenty of shoes, but he is a lovely bloke. And what I found out recently about Macca is that he's into
bikes.
His motorbikes. And I said, can you send me a picture of your bike, singular? No, not singular. There are seven of them, and there is a petrol head addiction. There is cars, there is everything. And I now want to move in with him.
He's into bikes, beards, glasses, shoes, and funky blazers.
Yep. He's the man.
And booze. So that was really good.
Never seen him in any situation looking anything other than the best dressed bloke in the room without trying too hard.
Oh, no, he tries hard.
Oh, yeah, but I always think he looks great.
No, I caught him looking at his mirror.
No.
Got a little pocket mirror. Yeah.
Macca. Macca.
A little beard comb as well.
Macca.
A pot of gel. But it was really nice. They sat me next to Giggsy, obviously, just because...
Welsh legends, isn't it?
Wow.
You've probably got more caps than Giggsy, haven't you?
You sit two sports stars together, you know, they're not going to nose each other. You know, I knew he wasn't going to ask me about 05 Grand Slam being sponsored by Reebok, as was similarly with him.
Come on in, mate. Hi, thank you. We're dear listeners, we're just receiving a brace of flat whites.
Thank you.
From the man. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Very kind. Thank you.
Yeah, but it was really good. So we had some lovely food. The food was fantastic. My first...
It was top notch, was it?
My first turkey dinner of the season.
Oh, yeah.
It was a funky one as well, you know. It was a posh one.
Was it?
If you can get that, yeah. But obviously, the two legends, me and Casey, sat next to each other. He did a Q&A then on the stage, and just an intimate one. For
before or after yours?
I interviewed him.
No. A generic bald man interviewed him, and I saw it looked like you. Looked like Phil Steele as well.
But it was brilliant. Like, and to be fair, everyone was asking him questions, but it wasn't on Welsh football. A little bit on the group profile for Euros, but it was more to do with what's Roy Keane like? What's Eric Cantona like?
That's what I'd want to know.
Because he's involved in Salford football team, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, is he one of the guys as well?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
He's part of... I said to him, like, do you still play a little bit of football now and again? Apart from obviously training when you're with the lads.
Yeah.
Lads. And he said, yeah, you know, him, Nicky Butt, Scholesy sometimes. You know, I was talking to him like I knew all the guys. Oh, yeah, Scholesy, yeah.
What is he like, Scholesy? Oh.
They play five-a-side against the Salford youth team.
I wonder if they win.
Dominate them, like verbally.
Do they? Batter them.
And skill-wise as well.
Yeah.
But real nice chat. Mm. Really, no, I wouldn't say a surprise, but it was just a nice, relaxed chat and an insight into him as a coach and some of the players. So good.
Yeah, good on him. And
he's just talking, sorry, just quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, I love saying that, don't I?
You do, yes.
He was a little bit about footballers in the UK and, you know, how the Premier League is just possessed with foreigners, really. And he's saying the problem you've got is that you got all these guys from poorer nations, and they've just got the more of a hunger. They've got the want, the drive to better themselves, to better their lives.
Mm.
So the want is more. You know, they're desperate.
Really?
It's desperation for them to make it. And he said, you see that similarly with kids. You know, he takes his kids to football. One of his boys to football, and he said, you can see it in some of the kids' eyes that have come from nothing. They have got the drive and the determination because they've come from nothing. They have nothing.
Yeah.
And he said, that is the biggest difference. He said, that's why you're seeing a lot of foreigners in the league, because they will just do whatever it takes to make it to that level, to bet themselves, to leave their country, to have a better life for themselves and their families.
Yeah, interesting that. So
really, really.
That is very interesting. Then I look back and think, who are the most ferociously driven people I've trained alongside and played alongside, and some of them are from nothing and some of them are from privilege, you know, like...
Yeah, I'm not saying it.
Yeah, no, it's just interesting. Yeah, both, like Lewis Moody went to a, you know, a top school because he was a top young player, and he might not, he's not posh, but he's certainly not from a harsh background. Got a lovely background, lovely family, lovely upbringing, and the bloke was an absolute dog. You know, someone like Guy Mercer, who got sacked off by Bath unceremoniously at the end of last season. Okay, he wasn't a regular sort of first choice player, but he was posh from Bath, from absolute privilege, but absolutely ferociously hardworking. So it goes both ways.
Much like
it?
Yourself, mate, when you turned up in your Golf GTI.
Exactly, when I turned up in my dad's 89 Golf.
You would happily tread on an ankle if you saw it around the base of a rock.
I'll gouge someone who's not looking. Don't worry about that. Joke, that's a joke. I mean, yeah. Is that a joke? Can we joke about that?
Fish hook him.
No, fish hook him. I didn't mean in the eye. I meant in the cheek.
So that was a lovely lunch. I had my dad's 70th birthday.
He's 70. Big Jim.
Big Jim was 70.
And he could still do a job.
It was really nice. Just, we had it in the Cardiff Blues, Gareth Edwards bar upstairs. So loads of friends and family come over. Mike Roberts, who...
Did you get a deal on the clubhouse? Is that
who, yeah. Rob Toogood was a DJ. Which was just too good, mate. He was too
was
good.
Was he any...
Mark Wolfie did some songs for us. He's brilliant on the guitar. Does loads of stuff with us with the hospitality as well.
The Wolfman.
But Mike Roberts played London Welsh, played Lions. He's been at my dad's 40th, 50th, 60th, 70th. There's loads of people there. John Dawes made an appearance, which was
You're
lovely.
You're joking me?
No.
I wouldn't have come to see Big Jim, but because you're better than him now. But I would have come to see John Dawes.
Big Jim and John Dawes were the centre partnership when he first arrived at London Welsh. So it was great to see John Dawes, Lions
Dawsey,
captain,
let's just call him
Welsh
Dawsey.
Captain.
Call him Dawes.
Yeah, he was there. Loads of friends and family. So what a night!
And was then, Phil Bennett there?
No, he wasn't.
That's a shame. Yeah. Is he Tom Shanklin's dad now? Because you were always son of Jim for years, Sodge.
No. I mean,
is he a man in his own right?
I'll always be son of Jim, mate. You know that.
Yeah, I used to play with your father
all the time.
I used to play with your father.
So that was a late one. And yesterday, sorry to go on a bit though.
No, it's
I
good.
We'll get to you in a bit. But yesterday, I went down to Allianz Park with Cardiff Blues. So DS Smith, who I work for,
you were on the bus, weren't you?
Yeah, we were on the bus. 7 o'clock leave from the Arms Park with Matt Prosser, Shane Boucher. We all went down there.
Were you straight on the blimmin' lash?
No, I had a coffee and croissant and a Christmas sandwich, my first one of the year as well, from Waitrose, you know, everything in there, stuffing, pigs and blankets, turkey.
Yeah, at about 20 past seven at the services.
Yeah.
Lush.
Exactly that. Went down there. We met up with Adrian Marsh, who's DS Smith Group CFO, season...
Hackney's brother.
Season ticket holder. Jody's husband. Season ticket holder. Went down there. But it was a lovely day. A long way to go on the bus for... what ended up being an anticlimax after 40 minutes.
If you're Welsh.
But it was just a nice day. A load of supporters there. A few corporates there. Bubs came. John O'Pritch came.
Oh, the blimmin' lads.
As guests of DS Smith.
Thing is...
We got the back seats. We got the tables. You know, you want to get me out of there, you got to fight me.
Yeah.
And then you have to be...
You got to be at it, haven't you?
Superhero.
You got to be at it. Because you are three times stronger than the average man.
Lucy Ray and her team sorted us out some... food before.
Oh, the NBN crew.
The Fez Club, yeah. They're all legends. There walking around looking gorgeous.
Legends. Men and women.
Of course.
You didn't plan it very well though, did you? Because you got on a bus back to Cardiff last night and then I met you at before 9 a.m. this morning at Paddington. 9 a.m. this morning as opposed to 9 a.m. the evening. 9 a.m. today at Paddington. So you went all the way back and all the way back again. But, so you're a bit of a muppet.
But being a seasoned tourist, as you are, Dave, you know the best times on the bus.
Yeah.
I would just go on a, if it was up to me, for a social, I'd just get on a bus and just drive for 8 hours.
Were you on Justice's stag? Oh, mate, Justice.
No.
I was in Cardiff. No, I was away as well. God, I think I was in England too. I wasn't going to mention it, but watching someone else play for England again. And he got a rugby team bus to Cardiff, from Bath to Cardiff, got on the blimmin' lash, and then got a rugby tour bus to bring him back, team bus to bus trip.
Perfect.
Genius.
Perfect. As long as he's got a toilet on, sometimes don't even need a toilet.
Yeah.
Couple of tables. It's got to have MP3 facility though, because you've got to be able to play music.
Yeah. But you know all the songs. You know every song. I could never remember anything.
A terrible voice though. Luckily, Blumberg was on the bus on the way home.
He can sing.
He helped.
Remember at Gethin Jenkins.
Carl Kruger helped a bit as well.
Remember at Gethin Jenkins' testimonial dinner at the Shard, I was standing with Blum, and we were chatting for a while, and Joe Marlow was there, and he came over and had a chat with Joe Marlow, and he was talking to Joe, and he's, oh, Joe this and Joe that, and he walked off, and Joe was
play with
Joe
him
was
years
like,
ago.
Mate, who's that guy? Who is that bloke? I said, oh, don't you know him? And he's like, he goes, he's talking like my best mate. I've never met him before. I've got no idea who he is. I was like, mate, he played hooker with you for 2 years at wherever it was, I don't know, Blackheath or wherever it was. He was like, oh, yeah. Was he any good? No, he was terrible, but he talked it up. Talked a really good team talk and then was rubbish.
Blum could have made it as a professional road player.
If had, been
had it not been for a weak ticker.
Yeah, had
not literally.
Been, but just P-heart.
Just didn't have the heart.
P-heart.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Not a lot.
So many people have been telling me your social media posts, how much weight you've lost. So well done you.
Mate, I'm still heavy. Don't worry about that. On Thursday, I went down for my first Christmas lunch, actually, down at Sandy Park, Executive Chiefs. So, went with Tony Rowe, got me down there, the boss man, to host the Christmas lunch. And it's actually for the Exeter Chiefs Foundation and for Wooden Spoon. So they have this event, and it's just, I won't go on and on about it. It was lovely. But what I would say is, it's Thursday afternoon, and it's 12 till 6, right? So it's a long lunch.
Punchy.
And they've got Jack Knoll, who's injured, fair enough. Phil Dolman, who's playing, then a couple of days later. They've got Harry Williams, who's fit and didn't end up playing, but was playing. Alec Hepburn, who's playing 2 days later. And those boys were there, start to finish, no complaints. They were there early. They were dressed immaculately. All four of them did Q&As. They were on great form. They absolutely bought in. On the same table, I was with Jack Knoll, and Nick White as well was there. Never got to know him before, but all the lads down there say he's a great guy and what wicked company he was. On the same table as Tony Rowe. And it's like, I remember, and no names here because that is actually not fair, and I've only got experience of one club in this sense, but I remember when I finished playing at Bath, and I wasn't anything to do with player appearances and whatever, that was the commercial department. But I remember being in the office once and somebody walking in and complaining, not a player, one of the staff complaining quite aggressively that one of the players, one of the key players, shouldn't have to go and do a player appearance a day after a game. And what this player had to do at 10:30 in the morning was go and start a kid's 1K charity run in a field, like in a park.
Yeah, so nothing that intense.
Day after a game. And there was absolutely kicking off. He's not happy. We're not happy. And then another player saying, can't do that after a game and all that sort of stuff. And he was like, the third one we asked, the first two wouldn't do it. And there are some very good lads there and at every rugby club. And it just so happens the people I'm talking about are no longer there. But I remember thinking, Matt Powell's the worst guy in the world. What a crappy attitude. And then I go to Chiefs and I'm just like, I'm sure there are lads there that can't be asked either because it's a rugby club. But like just great boys. And it was a really nice atmosphere anyway. So we raised a bit of money and it was really nice. And then I was from Exeter back up to the city, back up to London on Friday for an NBN event. And it was a busy one. So it was a comedy Christmas lunch. And I'm not there for the comedy, obviously. That's the other guys. But we had an interview with Matthew Hoggard and Steve Harmison.
How were they?
Yeah, Grievous Bodily Harmison. Wicked blokes. Like all six of these guys.
Wild.
Wicked guys, by the way. Not wild. Yeah, not wild. Yeah, you know if you'd got them on last, they would have been 10 bottles down because they were just having a really good time.
Yeah,
and just
okay.
I said to Steve Harmison, anything you want to talk about in particular? He's like, anything goes, don't care. What about Hoggard? Anything goes, don't care.
Really?
Yeah, do what you want, mate. So what I wanted to ask was, is Kevin Peterson a bell end? And I just couldn't. In the end, their stories were so long, we didn't have time. We had to cut it. So we did that. And then we had Michael Owen and Emil Heskey. And Michael Owen, we all feel like we know because he's on telly all the time. He was great value. He was really, really nice. And he was kind of, you'd expect him to be good, and he was good.
Put on a bit of timber, though, I noticed in the photo.
Yeah, but he's still a small guy.
Yeah.
Still a small guy, but
he looks like Jason Manford.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, you forget, he won Ballon d'Or when he was like 12.
Wow. I
mean, but then Emil Heskey, we don't hear a lot from. And he's not, it's interesting because everyone said the same thing. While he wasn't electrically funny or crazy or anything like that, or loose or drunk or anything like that, he is just the most gorgeous bloke. It's like, honestly, like, you cannot not love him after 30 seconds. It came off and all the people were like, how nice is Emil Heskey? Everyone's saying the same thing. And it was like, Emil, you don't know who I am. I don't expect you to know who I am, but you're now my favourite footballer. Obviously, except Peter Beardsley and John Barnes. And we had Will Greenwood and Mike Tindall, who just class acts and
yeah,
loose.
Seasoned. Have you ever seen the clip of Michael Owen and a young trainee footballer taking on Nether Southall in goal, and it's a competition.
Oh, well done, mate. He's 18 or something. Yeah, something like that.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Michael Owen is just absolutely pissing himself. He's taken the piss hugely out of this football. I'm going to find it. I'm going to retweet it. It's that funny.
Do that. And also the Dubai helicopter thing with Michael Owen. You ever seen that?
Yes.
Mate, it's the best thing on the internet.
But he's obviously knows what he's doing with his chat. Or is that him being serious?
I think he's come on a lot since then, and I think that's him being serious.
That was early doors, was it? First appearance.
Early doors.
In the media.
So that was lovely. And then I commentated on Chiefs against Gloucester, which was supposed to be a brilliant game, and it was actually rubbish. Gloucester did really, really well, by the way, but for 50 minutes, it was just largely dross. Exeter, really strangely poor.
Yeah, which we're going to get to in a bit.
Yeah, we'll get to that. And then I did an appearance with Nolly yesterday, being Sunday for Quilter.
Noddy. Oh, well done.
So that's nice, just, you know, hanging out with out with the fam, yeah?
Why does Noddy wear a bell on his hat?
Don't know.
You have to watch Cemetery Junction for that, guys and girls.
I've watched it, but I can't remember.
It's a swear word.
It's because he's a... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve All right. Spears.
All right, good on you.
Yeah, on Cemetery Junction.
Good on you.
It's one of my favourite jokes. Heineken Champions Cup / Challenge Cup weekend.
Yes.
Enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. There was some really good stuff. I love watching Toulouse play well. I like watching Racing against Leicester. It's a really good game. But I was down at, as I said, at Sandy Park, expecting that to be a great game, and it was actually pretty rubbish.
Well, the rain played a massive factor in that, didn't it?
Yeah,
it
just... Gloucester did a great job. For 50 minutes, it was largely dross, to be completely honest with you. And none of the star players really stood up, really. But it was horrible conditions, really, really tough. There was some woeful kicking from both sides, especially in the first half.
A lot of box kicking, wasn't there?
A lot of box kicking getting blown off the pitch. But actually, Gloucester did a great job. Exeter were strangely poor, uncohesive, ball going down, error strewn, very unusual performance from them.
Yeah, it's two on the bounce now because they lost against Quinns the week before, didn't they? And obviously this again, Thorley...
Oh.
Again, we've seen more of him, how elusive he is. He reminds me of James Simpson Daniel a lot because he's got that explosive power. He's not a big bloke. He's really...
No, he is big.
Is he?
Yeah, he's bigger than you think.
Really?
That's what I always thought. And then he walked past me on the way into the ground and I was like, he is a unit. I never knew.
Really?
He's a unit.
Because he looks like he's got big legs. He looked like he was sort of a similar mould to Sinbad.
No, Sinbad could fit in his pocket. He's honestly...
Wow.
He's like your height, maybe a bit taller.
I thought the same with Adam Beard when we saw Adam Beard, second row for the Ospreys in Wales.
Yeah, like, whoa. And he's much, much bigger than I thought.
Great pace, though, from Cuthbert to get back and make that tackle.
Cuthbert. You know, I'm not allowed to say it's an interesting one. Cuthbert is a great example. Cuthbert is, as well as like Matt Kvesic, those guys, some other players down there, a great example of what a really productive sporting environment can do for somebody. He was really good at the weekend, I thought. He's been really good since he went there. It's easy to say, oh, clean slate, fresh start. No.
Oh, that does help a lot, though. It refreshes the mind. And
yeah, but his confidence must have been shot when he got there, and that he is a proper player now. He looks really, really good. And the wheels to get back for Thorley were mega.
But I think we mentioned that a while ago, that he'd be a great sign for someone like Exeter because he fits into their mould, really, of what they want from a winger.
Yeah, he was really good. And Thorley, what I like about Thorley, and this is really basic chat.
His quads.
Quadzilla, is that when I used to play prop and the ball got kicked over my head and the back three caught the ball and got hold of it or whatever.
Yeah.
It used to really bug me when fullbacks got the ball or wingers got the ball and they acted like, you know, like Steph Curry in the NBA, like looking around to assess their options. All the time, the people chasing them down. I'm like, we're losing ground. You're giving us more work.
Oh, massively.
Run, man. And Matt Perry used to say, boys, as soon as that ball comes over your head, I'll meet you at the halfway line. And Pez would get there. He would run through anything to get to the halfway line to make our jobs easier. And these boys who speculate, he just really annoys me. And he gets the ball and he goes.
Yeah.
And he is so
powerful.
And
he bursts through tackles as well because he runs his weight and he runs through the ball.
Yeah.
He's not sort of stepping before contact too much. He doesn't lose power when he steps.
And he is an outside bet for the World Cup, I'm telling you.
I love that try by Armand, though.
Yeah.
Great decision making there.
What a try.
He passes that. Banahan's gone the length of the field to score. Yeah. But keeps hold of it. Slade again.
Rubbish though, Don Armand. Not good enough to play for England. That's the problem.
Henry Slade though, he's found his position, I think. Definitely at 13.
Yep.
I think Ollie Devoto as well has found a good bit of form. He's staying injury free.
He's another guy, Tommy, who he looks kind of delicate, but he's not. He's a big thumper.
Well, he scored last week with a real big powerful run against Quinns. And I think we're seeing a lot more power to his game now. And that that big ball carry at 12 suits really Exeter.
Because Chiefs have always been a little bit like, well, if we want power in the midfield, we'll pick Witten or Sam Hill.
Yep.
But actually with Devoto's more, you're distributing 12 slash covers 13 and can probably cover 10 and 15 at a push. But actually, he's always been big and powerful, but he's using it a lot better. And what Chiefs seem to do is they seem to coach players to use their power better. So when Matt Kvesic was at Worcester and Gloucester, he was a breakdown operator, solely a breakdown operator, if you ask me. Good bit of footwork every now and again, but not a punishing ball carrier. But it's not like he didn't have the power. Look at the arse and legs on him and the guns on him. He's got the power, and he now, at Chiefs, uses it. So that's got to be to do with the coaching.
It is. And when you've got Steenson at 10, who's obviously a distributor, you've got another one at 13.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter who you've got at 12. You obviously need a big ball carrier, but Devoto can do both. Yeah. He can carry and he can distribute, and you see that a lot in the games.
I also like Lorde comes off the bench in the back row. He's a good sort of young player coming through who's come through the academy there, and I actually think he's class.
You know, you look at that Gloucester pack, it's a decent pack, isn't it? It's really good. Love Willie Hines at 9 as well. Really makes him tick. Quite a quiet game, really, I suppose, from Cipriani. Conditions played a huge factor.
Yeah,
but
they took him off with a little while to go as well. Yeah, surprised me. I thought he was actually going all right.
A real decent win for Gloucester. And they've been going well so far this season. I watched a little bit of, well, when I say a little bit, 80 minutes of Scarlets v Ulster the weekend. Scarlets lost by 1 point, 24-25. They had so many opportunities for Scarlets, though. Yeah. So many. And we've seen it a lot this season with them. It's that final pass, whatever the reasons being. I think last year and the year before, you know, they've played this wide game, they've played this offloading game, and they're still trying to play it. But for some reason, and I can't put my finger on it, it's just that final offload or that final part isn't going to hand. You know, they're creating opportunities, which is the pleasing thing, because you want teams to create opportunities. If a team wasn't creating opportunities, they wouldn't have, you know, that's when you would worry. But it's that last pass, I think, with them. And we saw that 3 or 4 times in the game. Yeah, and they probably should have won that game.
I wonder.
But Stockdale scores an amazing try.
That guy. Well, first of all, Will Addison.
Yes.
Was brilliant, I thought. And
he was great for Sale.
You and I have long thought he's an excellent player. And he's an international class player, even in Ireland, who are the second best team in the world.
That angle he hits is brilliant.
He's just a really tough, clever player, but he's a tough athlete to play against because he's got such good movement. He's so quick and loads of skill.
Everything.
A bit like playing against I remember playing against Ian Bolshaw, and it's particularly difficult because he could just make you look stupid.
But what an asset to Ireland he is now as well, because he can play anywhere. You know what?
He can't play second row. So.
Can't play. He might not be able to play 10, but 12, 13, 14, 15, you'd feel comfortable with him in any of those slots.
Yeah, and Stockdale appears to be a bit of a freak.
Yes, massively.
That try he scored, you think that should have been defended, really. They should have tackled him there. But clearly, a bit like Ollie Thorley, he is a lot harder to tackle than you think. And when you get up close to him, he's actually a much bigger unit than you think. Because he's so quick and agile, you think, well, he can't be that heavy. But I think some of these guys shock you with actually the genetics of them now. Even us lot, who
have
been around these guys forever, you now and again walk past. So we all know Matt Banahan's huge, you know, a big guy. But then you walk past someone like a Thorley, who's a young up-and-coming winger who looks quick. You walk past him and you're like, holy moly, that is a big cat.
Just with the Scarlets, I mean, they've got James Davis was back playing at 7. They've Will Boyd, both good over the ball. They've lacked a 6 and a 7, really. That is, I don't know, a top jackler. So someone that can steal ball, because the Scarlets are so good off the cuff. They're one of the best teams off the cuff. When it's free play,
turnover ball.
But they've not really been getting many turnovers. So, you know, a little bit disappointed with the Scarlets, but you know, there's plenty of time to bounce back for them.
Yeah, I still feels like a key, because it's a key.
It's a home
for
game.
Ulster,
it's a
key
home
loss
game.
That.
It's a home game.
Yeah.
You target your home games. You should target all games for one in the Heineken Challenge Cup, Champions Cup. You shouldn't be resting players, because were you ever rested in Europe unless you were dropped?
No.
No. You put your best team out. That's your shop window, because a lot of people watching TV and watching the Heineken Champions Cup of the weekend won't have seen any Pro 14, might not have seen too much Gallagher Premiership, and that's your shop window, and you get judged on that. You shouldn't be resting players, I believe, for this window.
Why bother going hard out to qualify if you're going to rest players?
Exactly.
Bath,
Leinster, talk to me about Flaggate. Was it you that cancelled it?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
I just, this is, when I say it's going to be controversial, no it's not. No one cares. But
were the flags doused in petrol?
The flags, I personally think, and this is an opinion, I think there's a good chance that the health and safety thing was absolute bollocks, and that it was a ploy to try and annoy them, try and make sure that it was all Bath flags and Bath colours, and turn it blue, black and white instead of blue, black and white and blue. Something like that. I just think a load of rubbish.
They didn't want Leinster fans and players to run out and see all the Leinster home support and make it more comfortable for them.
Yeah, and I believe, and it's just a belief that I think, and that it's a load of rubbish. There's no health and safety because their flags are everywhere, and I just don't believe it. And if I'm wrong, then I'll gladly be wrong, because it means my old club aren't doing stupid stuff like that. Because if it isn't wrong, then, and that's just a marketing ploy, or it's someone's idea, I think it's pathetic, absolutely, and it's embarrassing. Do you know what? It's a weird thing. I love Bath, as you know, Tommy. It's my home club, and all that sort of stuff. If someone made that decision in the club and said, I want to just ban their flags, let's get into them, and someone said, yeah, let's ban their supporters' flags, I'm glad they lost. If they didn't, and it's health and safety, I will hold my hands up and apologise. But you can't do stuff like that in rugby. That is not how it works. Treat people properly, be welcoming, and help them.
You do well for 1,500 flags to catch fire in the pouring rain.
Yeah, when there's no roof on half the stands anyway. Anyway, a far better performance than Bath.
Puzzle. Struggling at 10 though, aren't they, at the moment? Wilson is at 10, doesn't always play 10, mostly plays 12, yeah. 13 more. So
yeah,
not to get mixed up with Willison.
No, but he's also 35 and playing rugby a bit in New Zealand and a bit in Bedford, and he's not what they want to be starting at 10. He's a good player, but he's not what they want to be starting at 10. And
you can't throw that pass off a turnover line out either.
No, and because he's not a top of the range 10, or we'd have known by now. You know,
but you can see where what he's trying to do. He's trying to get the ball into 15's hands as soon as possible.
But no matter how well Bath are playing, they did play so much better than the week before, so much better than the Sale game, because that was terrible. That was an awful performance, actually. But
Lama had probably another 2 or 3 seconds time to take that intercept and that sort of effectively killed them off.
Yeah, and yes, they played a lot better, but there was no pressure on them because everyone expected them to get humped. So it's kind of let's wait a little bit and see how they do consistently, because it's not about the odd big game. We know that. You're watching it the whole time and you're thinking Bath are bang up for this. They're knocking them around. A couple of the boys are having big games. You're like, they're properly up for this. Nathan Catt, outstanding. And it's just like, Leinster are still going to win. Of course, because they look relaxed. And then you start to see the interception pass come and you see Sexton looking cooler and cooler. And you see him, you know, he smashes about the place, but he's actually communicating with real clarity and people are nodding at what he's saying. And you think, they are going to go away with this. It's a crap day. Not possible to score 50 points because Bath are up for it and the weather's rubbish and we're not bang on it. But it never felt like Leinster weren't going to win that game, to be honest.
But Leinster have just been on fire. They're always on fire. But the last two games they've played with...
Kids.
A mixed team. They put 50 points on, I think it was the Dragons... and possibly Cardiff. So they're coming in with real confidence. But you're right, Johnny Sexton is just, what an operator.
Yeah.
And I love the. There's been an article recently about Johnny Sexton saying that when Joe Schmidt first came in for an interview about being an Irish coach, they brought a couple of players in to meet him, a couple of senior players, just to get their thoughts on him. And Johnny Sexton said that he thought Joe Schmidt was too nice, too kind a bloke to be head coach, and then realised that he's probably the most ruthless bloke he's ever met.
Really?
Yeah. He thought he thought his initial impression of Joe Schmidt was that he was too nice and too kind to be a head coach.
I met Joe Schmidt at this thing.
It's nice that though, isn't it?
I love that. And when I met him, I was part of a conversation he was in. And it was around, you know, what's the most important thing? And he said, well, analysis, preparation, knowledge, research, all really important. But really, it's about respect. And there are tough conversations to have as a head coach. So will I have them, or will I leave them to someone else to have, or will I bottle them? So what I did was I made sure the first few I had as a coach years ago, I made sure I confronted those myself, did them myself. And after that, it was easy. Now I don't find it difficult to tell people they're not playing or they're not good enough.
Yeah.
But as soon as you bottle the first two, game over. Never comes back, you know, and I thought it's so true.
I saw Rob Howley was on TV in the stands at Wasps at the Rico.
Howlers?
Obviously, probably... Definitely.
Obviously.
Watching Thomas Young, hopefully.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about Thomas Young. I mean,
Thomas Young's an absolute rock star player. He's brilliant.
Massively. I totally agree. But the only thing I will say is there's a lot of rock star sevens at the moment.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And for him, he's just got to buy his time, really.
Yeah, he's got Bodies Time, but he's also got probably playing Wales, because if it's 50-50, he's not going to get picked.
Possibly. But, I mean, we saw Toulouse, we saw Colby, how good he was against Bath, I think it was.
Yeah, nightmare.
A month or so ago.
What,
I mean, just runs through Sopoanga, two tackles, and what pace as well he's got. Powerful pace, really lateral, but, you know, when he runs, you know, big players are trying to tackle him and just bounce off him.
Yeah.
Because he's a solid bloke.
And he hits him so hard because he's moving so quickly. And he's not a little weakling. He's little,
not at all. Not at all. And yeah. you see players like that and you think, right, you know, I'm going to be able to dominate this contact. But when they hit you, they're so powerful.
Yeah.
And mate, you saw that.
James Simpson Daniel, to be fair, agreed, had massive legs. And he was a big squatter and stuff, but not a big bloke. And used to hit Sinbad. And no matter how hard you hit Sinbad, you can't stop him. A bit without blowing smoke, a bit like you. But you're a much bigger bloke than him. But it's like some people you just have to accept
that
unless they are up in the air or catching the ball, man and ball, you're not going to knock them back.
I totally agree with you.
Like that.
Totally agree with you. Didn't help losing Nathan Hughes.
No.
Early on.
No.
But do you know what I've... Like, Le Bourgeois.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching him play. Mm. I mean, I know he was on the losing team yesterday, but... You know, he makes a break and sets up one of the tries.
Yeah.
Or
he's a proper player, isn't he?
He's a proper player.
Yeah.
He's one of those 100%ers, you know, that's not really going to let you down. He carries the ball really well.
I also think he thinks about
hits
it.
Hits hard.
And he communicates aggressively and he seems to tell people exactly what he wants, which for a Premiership kind of rookie, I know he's played a lot in the Championship, but he's stepped up a level and he absolutely looks the part to me. Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of missed tackles from Sopoaga. Lead to two tries,
yeah,
basically.
We're yet to quite... A couple of games he played, you've got man of the match. Was it at Newcastle where he looked...
Just a little bit lightweight. A little bit lightweight in the tackle area. Doesn't quite hit and stick.
Yeah. See, he's no smaller than George Ford, but George Ford's a brave bloke and he'll put his shoulder in and stick in there.
Yeah.
And he'll get trampled a bit, but he's a tough bloke. But it's not... Sopoanga, we haven't quite... He's looked very relaxed in some games.
He does. He did make a lovely break later on in the game. Great.
Yeah, we haven't quite seen him come through yet, but there's still time. Willie LaRue took a while as well, let's not forget, at Wasps.
Correct. No, I totally agree. It was only sort of Curtly Beale that really just made an instant impact.
Yeah, and there are some players who, you know, this is what I do, and you can kind of do it anywhere, but when you're running the game for people and there's a massive positional part to your game, you've got to react to other players in your area, like your other back three, I imagine it can be more difficult. Whereas if you sign a tight head prop and he's as strong as you like, there's a good chance that when it comes to it, he'll still be, you know, he can do a job.
A compliment to Sopoaga is that, you know, he does look like he's got time on the ball. And that's a compliment, because that means players aren't panicking. You know, to have time on the ball means you, more often than not, you're picking the right decisions. You're not getting rushed.
Yeah,
you're creating time for yourself.
But also, he does look like a classy player.
Yeah,
and we kind of know he is. But it's just whether or not he can repeatedly run games. Because someone like Cipriani, whom he's replaced, he's got time on the ball and he's got class, but he can also run games.
Yes,
and create, you know, create sort of orchestrate victories in tough games, and we haven't seen that from Sopoanga yet.
So I went down to Allianz Park. I was covering the game for Flats and Shanks TV. And it was a great first half.
Yeah.
Very, very windy and cold. And it's an open stadium as well, isn't it, Allianz Park? So
yeah. Wind plays the Blues a huge did all right factor. For half a game.
They did start off really well. Wigglesworth scored the first try. I think it was a break by Zalski. Just feeds it inside. It's never nice. Again, try scored against you in the first couple of minutes, but they came back really well, played with a lot of width. They had to play with width because they had Gath Hanscom at 10, Jared Evans, who's a 10 at 12.
How did he go?
He went all right in attack, but...
Defensively,
it's different, isn't it? You have to be able to put shots on at 12.
Yep.
You have to be able to slow the ball down.
Yep.
Possibly not used to that aggressive defence, because at 10, you often get a lot of cover from your 9, from your back row, so
yep.
You might have to make the initial hit, and then the reinforcements come in. But at 12, you really have to hit players.
You're banging and clanging
and
at
stop
12,
them.
Yeah.
But Matthew Morgan scored a wonder try at 15.
Yeah.
Catches the ball, just ends up handing off who played 9 for... Ends up handing off Wigglesworth. Great try, but still, defensively, still a bit of a weak link for me in the Blues. And I do think he's a really attacking player, but... As a 15, okay, when you got a decision to make. It's an easy decision for a ball player if a 15 just commits. It's just a 2-on-1, you give it. You have to be a little bit clever about how you're going to defend. You know, whether you start shepherding them out a little bit. Make the attacker think. Don't just give them the easy option.
And when Mike Brown comes in, boy.
He just shoots up. And he goes high a lot. And I know he's a small bloke. But, you know, if you go high, a small bloke goes high, then you're just going to carry on another 10 metres.
All these lads need to do is Google Matt Perry, Bath, videos, play. That's all you need to do. It's easy.
It was 18-13 of the Blues at half-time. Saracens get a kick, 3 points just before half-time. But then that second half, as soon as it starts, 2 quick tries from Saracens, then that was it. It was
Red Rover.
All you can eat, mate.
Mako carving up.
But the Blues rested a lot of players. There was injuries as well, but there can't be that serious injuries if players are going to be fit for the following week. You know, you're not talking 3 or 4 weeks out. You're talking probably soft tissue injuries that... You know, you're the same as me. You shouldn't rest players for Europe. It might be a different, better game next week when Saracens go to Cardiff Blues, but I still don't agree with resting players in this shop window that we get. We can't touch on all the games because
we've got to be quick.
But you watched a bit of Racing.
The Racing game was fascinating. Racing sort of struggled to victory in the end, bonus point victory, but... It was a brilliant game. He scored a couple of lovely tries. Vakatawa, amazing try. Loads of power.
Yes.
Leicester looking defensively really suspect at times. Also looking reasonably potent in attack. Tua Lange played well. George Ford had some nice moments. Ellis Genge, Google it, peeps, had one of the best ball carries ever. Just absolute monster. The baby rhino, Nick Mullins calls him.
Get out the way. Mine's on the bar.
It was a mega carry.
Would you have made Mick the Munch Skinner's
Mick
DVD?
The Munch, yeah. Get out the road, you mute. My pint's on the bar. And the stadium at Racing was just amazing.
Looks phenomenal, mate.
Phenomenal. You know, I think it was Nick Mullins again that said a glimpse at the future.
That's the closest thing you get to being a rock star, I reckon.
What a stadium to play rugby in. It was just fantastic.
The moment I just loved was George Ford's intercept when it looks like it's a try for Racing.
Yeah.
Intercepts it, kicks it all the way down the field. Great pace as well, mind.
Yeah.
And then quick throw in, and Leicester end up getting a bonus point for 4 tries.
Yeah, so actually there was loads to take from that.
And they were close, weren't they, to actually doing a job out
in
Racing.
Yeah, they really were. And Racing were on really good form.
But it's backs against the wall now for Leicester.
Yeah.
Massively. It's and
hard teams, times for them.
It is. There's a lot of pressure on the coaches, on the players. But that's often when you get the best out of people, isn't it? But you need to bottle that up, and somehow you need to have that emotional level every time you play, which is a hard thing to do.
I, of course, that's true, but I also think you need to not rely on everyone being absolutely insanely motivated for every game because your systems need to be in place where the lads can actually, yes, of course, you've got to be emotionally aroused, but the systems have got to be in place whereby you can actually turn up and rely on people to just be in the right place, make their tackles, get back into position because they still conceded 36 points. Yes, they can take a lot out of it, but they've been bonus pointed again by a great team, very good team, a potent attack, but they're conceding a lot of points still week after week. So I think that's what needs to be addressed.
David, I've loved you being on this pod. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for your insight, and hopefully, you know, we'll see you soon.
See you around like an orange.
Cheers.